25. Winged Avenger.
It is important to note that Yeltis are solitary creatures. Once they are born, the mothers leave the children to fend for themselves. Oddly enough, the young are the fiercest. Sometimes siblings stick together, hunting other creatures like Cisthern and Colina.
From Colvinar Brayum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 113. Amandal threw himself sideways, attempting to take cover behind his conjured Yeltis. Battle cries filled the hall, as well as incantations. The winged creature's nasally screams bounced off the walls, while beams of violet pierced the maimed conjuration in an erratic manner. What was that winged thing doing? Fendar and Ildan's enthralled earthen giants advanced on the flying creature. The illusionists attempted to swat it, but it moved too quickly, weaving in and around the earthen hands. All the while, the creature kept firing disintegrating blasts with its bizarre rod-like weapon.
To me!
Amandal sent the command to his quintessentials. Jacob had not yet cast an acidic barsion upon Amandal, so the conjuration's protection would have to do. All four quintessentials gathered around Amandal, raising their hands while extending their long, forked tongues. They were ready to intercept the disintegrating blasts if the creature decided to fire in Amandal's direction. A roaring charge filled the air behind Amandal, as well as clanking armor and singing metal. The mages continued uttering a cacophony of incantations that produced barsions, enhancements, elemental imbuings, and destructive blasts.
"Don't let them kill him,"
that voice said. Amandal frowned, pushing himself upright. "Why?" he asked. "Was this creature some denizen of Tartalim?" Then, focusing on the melee, he sent a command for his other giants to attack. He closed his eyes and concentrated on his two Yeltis. Of all his conjurations, they were the most mobile. The earthen giants were lumbering brutes in comparison.
"Go,"
Amandal commanded.
"Run."
Both conjurations bolted toward the chaotic battle. The soldiers and mercenaries were practically useless as the winged creature kept itself near the ceiling. It wildly unleashed those disintegrating blasts, narrowly missing the men and women.
Can the creature not aim? Why was it so sloppy?
Both Yeltis passed Fendar and Ildan. The two illusionists were uttering their enthralling incantations while gray light gathered about them.
Good idea, Amandal thought.
If this creature was a denizen of Tartalim, then they'd best keep it alive and pry whatever it knew from its mind. He didn't need a voice in his head to tell him that. Mirotin and several other squad leaders called for a change in tactics. Nearly half the soldiers sheathed their weapons and drew bows or crossbows. The mercenaries, however, were only armed with melee weapons. Through their swatting, the earthen giants managed to repulse the winged creature back through the hall. Violet light flashed off the walls, and more disintegrating beams struck another earthen giant. The blast went through the conjuration's arm at the elbow. If it had been anything other than an elemental, its arm would have been rendered useless. Amid the winged creature's destructive volley, the two conjured Yeltis joined the fray. Both Yeltis dodged several beams as they bounded into the hall, but an errant blast struck one of them in the knee. Pain shot through Amandal's knee, and he buckled. Though he was not hurt, he could feel the pain shared through his conjuration's bond.
Focus on one,
he thought, clenching his teeth. It would be easier to control a single Yeltis. With his mind focused completely on the unmarred Yeltis, Amandal forced it into a dash.
Crouch,
he commanded an earthen giant, and the conjuration obeyed. The Yeltis leapt atop the crouched earthen giant, then launched itself toward the ceiling and the winged creature. A high-pitched scream left the winged thing's long trunk as it spun to face the Yeltis. Violet light shot from the creature's weapon just as the Yeltis's paw smacked it. Amandal cringed in the shared pain but forced the conjuration to follow through. The blow sent the winged creature spinning. It plummeted beside the Yeltis, weaponless.
Where's that rod?
In less than a heartbeat, the winged creature regained its flight. Amandal's conjured Yeltis fell, turning to swat at the fluttering creature.
No!
The creature screamed, its oversized helmet bobbing back and forth.
Where did it go?
Arrows and crossbow bolts whizzed through the air, but the creature evaded and flew to the ceiling. As the Yeltis landed on the floor, two gray clouds, the illusionist's enthralling magic, shot through the air and directly toward the winged creature. The creature dove, evading both the magic and the volley of bolts and arrows. It wove around the earthen giants, dodging their swatting blows. All the while, the enthralling magic sought the winged thing.
Mother's rod!
The creature shouted, zipping along the floor.
Mother?
Amandal thought, pushing the Yeltis upright as the winged creature zipped by, the magic closing in. Could this creature be a child? When it had engaged the earthen giant, it had yelled something about its mother. Destructive orbs from the mages, made of arcane, flaming, and acidic magic, zipped around the conjurations and toward the creature. But as with the arrows and crossbow bolts, the winged thing evaded the deadly orbs.
Where is it?
The creature screamed, and the enthralling clouds engulfed it. No sooner was the winged creature shrouded than it flew from the magic, wings still fluttering. It continued screaming while zipping around the Yeltis. Had the magic not taken effect?
Perhaps it's immune.
Creatures like the Noctilius were resistant but still showed some signs of subjugation. This creature, however, wasn't impeded in the slightest. Regaining his composure, Amandal swatted at the creature again. It turned tightly, and the Yeltis missed, slamming its hand against the white stone wall. Another volley of arrows and bolts flew between the conjurations. The creature evaded the projectiles once again. For all its clumsiness with the rod, it was graceful in flight. One of the arrows struck the Yeltis in the face, then another in the neck, and a third in the shoulder. Amandal gasped with the pain but continued reaching for the winged creature. An enthralled earthen giant lunged, barreling into the Yeltis. Both conjurations tumbled to the floor, but before the earthen giant hit the ground, it reached into the air. The earthen hands surrounded the winged creature as it made a tight turn. Screeching with that nasally pitch, the creature dove, but not before the giant clamped its earthen hands around it. At that moment, an acidic orb struck the earthen hand, dripping acid down its rocky fingers. The giant landed on the Yeltis with a resounding crash that Amandel felt in his chest. The blow knocked the wind out of him, and he struggled for breath. Triumphant cheers filled the hall, and the squad leaders called for the mages to cease their destructive incantations. Still struggling for breath, Amandel pushed his Kinta shawls aside and fell to the floor. The cool stone was a welcome embrace.
"Don't let him die," the voice said. "He is essential to escaping, Tardalim."
Amandal furrowed his brow. Why was that voice so cryptic?
"You're so annoying."
"Amandal?" Silas called. "Amandal, were you hit?"
Amandal pushed himself up, sucking in a deep breath.
"No," he said with a gasp. "My conjurations were wounded, that's all. Both Yeltis will need your help."
Silas arrived beside him and gripped his arm.
"Let me help you."
With the Arpranist's aid, Amandal regained his feet. Whimpering and crying reached his conjuration's ears. Those baleful noises sounded nasally. "Is the creature hurt?"
"Come with me," Amandal said, grabbing Silas's wrist. "My conjurations can wait."
Together, Amandal and Silas hurried into the intersection, passing the crowd of mercenaries and soldiers. None seemed to be wounded. Well, that's lucky. Due to the creature's horrible aim, Amandal expected to find the hallway riddled with holes from the disintegrating magic, but the white stone on the floor and walls was completely unmarred.
How was that possible?
The thought of Tardalim's walls being impervious to magic made his stomach knot. Was the stone laced with barjan somehow, or a continuous transmutation? Was the wall's impervious nature the reason conjuration magic could not be manifested here? Ildin called for Amandal, moving from the others with Fendar in tow.
"I'm sorry about the Yeltis, but I saw an opportunity and had to take it."
So Ildin had been the one to capture the winged thing. Amandal waved a hand in dismissal.
"How was the creature?"
"Still trapped," Ildin said. "I figured I wouldn't crush it in case it had anything useful to share."
Fendar grunted.
"I don't see how we'll extract that information.
Our enthralling spells trickled right off it as if we had splashed it with water.
So it is immune. What kind of creature is this?
Setting his jaw, he continued toward the towering conjurations. Clanking armor and hurried footfalls heralded the squad leader's approach. They dashed ahead, heading for the toppled conjurations. Amandel and the others quickened their pace. The faint nasally cries grew louder with each footstep, despite being muffled by the conjuration's earthen hands. Soon he was at the feet of the toppled Yeltis. Ildin's enthralled earthen giant was still atop the furry beast. The elemental's arms, however, were resting on the floor beyond the Yeltis, partially out of view. The squad leaders rounded the Yeltis's head, disappearing behind the two conjurations.
Best get over there, Amandel thought, quickening his pace.
Several squad leaders began shouting demanding questions at the winged creature. Their harsh interrogation only made the nasally crying worse.
Like a berated child, he thought.
Amandel pushed his way past Mirrodin and joined Bilinus, who was doing the bulk of the shouting. He ignored the burly man and stepped up to the conjuration's acid-scarred fingers. The crying grew louder with each of Bilinus's questions. Though it was dark between the earthen hands, there was enough light to see the winged creature. The gray tail shook, as did the tiny hands. The oversized helmet atop its head wobbled above the trunk.
"Stop that!" Amandel snapped. "Can't you see it's frightened?"
"It attacked us," Bilinus shouted. "It should be afraid."
The towering squad leader turned from Amandel and continued railing at the winged creature. Amandel glanced to the other squad leaders. Several continued yelling, augmenting Bilinus's shouts. Others, including Mirrodin, had stopped and were straining to peer inside the earthen hands turned prison.
"Bilinus, shut up," Amandel said.
The burly squad leader turned.
"You're not in charge. In fact, you're far from it."
He began hurling accusations at Amandel, blaming him for the death of several soldiers from the battle with the Noctili.
"So annoying."
Amandel closed his eyes, reaching out to his Yeltis. Though it was pinned, one of its arms was free.
"Pick him up," Amandel commanded.
He opened his eyes as the Yeltis's white-furred arm swept across the floor toward Bilinus. The Yeltis snatched the squad leader and lifted him into the air, and Bilinus's shouts became frantic cries for help.
"Shut up, or I'll make you shut up," Amandel shouted,
then turned to the other squad leaders.
"Let me handle this."
Mirrodin nodded.
"Let's get to scouting," he said to the squad leaders.
He stepped away, followed by Orin. Soon, only the mages remained with Amandel and the winged creature. Taking in a deep breath to calm himself, Amandel moved toward the earthen hands.
"It's okay," he said, leaning toward an opening between the rocky fingers.
The space was barely large enough for Amandal's hands to fit through.
"The mean men are gone," he said. "Best talk to this thing like a child."
The creature inside continued crying, but its shaking had lessened. From this angle, Amandel could see more of the creature. Part of its tail was covered in white boils. There were also black marks that Amandel did not recall seeing earlier.
"Are you hurt?" Amandel asked. "Did the green stuff burn you?"
Sylas knelt at another opening between the stony fingers, peering inside.
"I can help you," she said, assuming a motherly tone. "I'm an Arpranist. Do you know what that is?"
The winged creature shook and its trunk flailed.
"You don't?" Sylas asked. "That's okay. I'm a mage that heals people. Here, let me show you."
She turned to the others.
"Do any of you have something sharp?"
Fendar pulled a knife from his boot.
"Why do you want it?"
Sylas stood, took the knife, and went back to the earthen hand.
"Watch,"
she said, then sliced the blade across her palm. Blood dripped from the wound as Sylas uttered an incantation. Arpran magic swirled around her hands, then seeped into the self-inflicted wound. Amid her incantation, the other mages gathered around. Ildin stood beside Amandel, while Fendar and Jacob sat beside Sylas.
"See?" she asked. "It's all better. Now can I cast the same magic on you?
Why?
The creature asked.
So you don't hurt, Silas said. Those boils look painful.
It will be fine, Amandel said, putting his hand into the opening. I promise it won't hurt. You can take my hand if you want.
The creature didn't budge. Its crying had lessened, but it still whimpered. Our Pran magic shot into the earthen prison, illuminating the conjuration's hands with a vibrant green hue. The winged thing had its back pressed against the rocky palm, its wings stilled. They were a semi-translucent gray with charcoal-colored spots, and it had four wings, its lower pair half the size of the upper two.
Those are pretty wings you have, Amandel said as the magic surged toward the creature. I wish I had wings.
The creature turned its head toward Amandel, but due to the helmet's oversized nature, Amandel still could not see the winged thing's face. Our Pran light surged across the wounded tail, reducing the boils from the acidic orb. The magic surged up the creature's torso and to its wings. As the Arpran light faded, the creature quieted. It lifted its tail, then eased forward. Each of its wings fluttered for a moment, then the creature settled back against the earthen hands.
That's better, Amandel said, smiling. My name is Amandel. What's yours?
The creature turned, and he assumed it was studying him.
I'm Silas, the Arpranist said.
The creature sat still for a moment, then reached its tiny hands to its helmet. It hefted the oversized headgear and dropped it on the earthen palm beside its tail. The creature's face was quite bizarre. The sides and top of its head were rounded, similar to a human's. But where a man's nose and mouth should have been was the base of that trunk. Two completely black eyes stared directly at Amandel. There were no hairs on the creature's head, and it lacked eyebrows and eyelashes. There were creases above the creature's eyes, where eyebrows should have been. Two slits lined the trunk near its base, which Amandel assumed were the winged thing's nostrils. The lips on the creature's snout downturned into a grimace. Never had Amandel seen such a wondrous creature.
Exquisite, Amandel said, his smile widening.
Silas stifled an alarmed gasp, but the creature didn't seem to notice.
You're a beautiful thing, you know that, Amandel said.
And you're ugly,
it said in that nasally voice. Amandel burst into mirthful laughter.
Oh my, I like you.
Wow, Ildin said. I think that's the first time anyone has called you ugly. Jacob snorted.
If Amandel's ugly, then what are we?
The creature blinked several times, but didn't turn from Amandel.
Ugly invaders.
Invaders? Amandel asked, cocking his head. Are these halls yours? The creature nodded.
This is my home.
I'm sorry for intruding, Amandel said. We didn't know anyone lived here.
I live here,
the creature said, annoyed.
Does anyone else? Silas asked. Do you have family?
The creature turned to her but didn't answer. It studied the Arpranist for a moment, then turned back to Amandel.
It mentioned a mother, Fendar said, and it sounded like it wanted revenge when it attacked.
The creature's eyes narrowed, and that line where the eyebrows should have been became exaggerated.
Don't talk about my mother!
Okay,
Fendar said, raising his hands defensively.
I didn't mean to hit a sore spot.
Dumb invader,
the creature said with a grumble. It settled back and folded its arms. That line above its eyes was still quite prominent.
Foul invaders, Amandel thought. That's what it called us when it attacked.
He recalled what the creature had said.
For my mother. Had she died to others exploring Tardalim? If so, when had that occurred? Weren't they the first to set foot in these halls?
I'm sorry about your mother, Amandel said.
I can't imagine losing a parent. The creature fidgeted. Amandel eyed the winged thing for a moment. You know, you still haven't told me your name.
Why do you want to know?
The creature asked.
Well, Amandel said with a sigh, that's what people of my homeland do when they meet strangers.
Your people sound stupid,
the creature said. Amandel chuckled. Sometimes they can be, but I think it's polite to introduce yourself. Besides, what am I going to call you? Winged creature? Pretty gray thing? Those aren't good names. The creature straightened, then leaned toward Amandel. It lifted its trunk, pointing its lips toward Amandal's face.
Benchalam Nidum.
That's a mouthful, Jacob said with a snort. Silas slapped the necromancer and shot him an exasperated glare.
Benchalam, Amandel said. Nidum? Is that your full name?
What is full name?
The creature asked. He blinked before asking another question.
Is Nidum your surname? My full name is Amandel Aramian. Aramian is my surname.
Benchalam Nidum mouthed the name.
Amandel Aramian.
The creature slurred the names. No, Amandel shook his head, then said his full name with a deliberate pause between both names. For short, people call me Amandel.
Weird name,
Benchalam Nidum said.
My name is Benchalam Nidum, but mother calls me Benchalam sometimes.
That's still kind of long, Jacob said, and Silas slapped him again.
So, she gave you a nickname? Amandel asked. Can I call you that? Or is that special to your mother?
Benchalam Nidum shrank back. The creature obviously didn't like being called by that particular nickname.
Probably reminds it of losing its mother, Amandel thought.
What if I gave you another nickname? He asked. Benchalam Nidum stirred.
I like nicknames. Helps people bond, I think. We have a friend whose name is Morgidion, but I always call him Morgi.
Why?
Benchalam Nidum asked.
Because it's what friends do, Amandel answered. And it's something he and I share. No one else calls him that. It makes our friendship special.
Benchalam Nidum blinked.
So if we're to be friends, Amandel continued, then I should come up with a nickname for you. One only I use.
Benchalam Nidum blinked several times. Was it not amused?
Hopefully it's considering the offer of friendship, he thought, mulling over possible variations of the creature's name. How about Finch? The name used the same sounds, just with different emphasis. How about Finch?
Amandel asked. A smile formed upon the end of Benchalam Nidum's trunk.
I like that.
Finch it is, Amandel said. Now that we're friends, why don't we see if we can help each other out? After all, that's what friends do.
While the others began scouting both directions of this new hall, Amandel spent time conversing with Finch. He discovered that Finch was actually a male of his kind, the Tulidine. He was also the last of his kind. Ilden had since freed Finch of his prison, allowing the winged creature to flutter about. Prior to releasing him, Amandel promised to feed Finch if he did not run away or try to kill any of the expedition with his rod-like weapon, which Ilden had returned to the creature. Food was quite the motivator. Fluttering in the air, Finch held a variety of dried meats and cheeses in his tiny hands.
I like this one,
he said, waving his trunk over a slice of blue-speckled cheese called Havanissa.
It is good, Amandel said. Our chef back home makes several dishes with it.
What is chef?
Finch asked.
Someone who makes food, Amandel said. Don't your people have chefs?
No.
Finch shook his head, sliding his trunk across the slice of Havanissa. Who prepares your food, then?
The roost does,
Finch said, pointing to the ceiling. He had mentioned the roost several times, but did not explain what he meant by the term.
I still don't understand what this roost is.
It's safe, Finch said. Only the Tulidine go there.
Can you take us to the roost? Finch lifted his trunk from the cheese. He studied Amandal, blinking several times.
Why?
So we can be safe, Amandal said. Our friends don't know how to find us, but I know they're going up.
He pointed to the ceiling. Perhaps if we can make it to the roost, we can meet back up with them. Finch returned to his cheese. He didn't speak until after he had eaten all his Havanissa.
Why did you come to my home, Amandal Aramian?
Amandal harumphed.
I didn't have a choice. I was forced to come here or be punished.
Finch gasped.
That's bad.
I agree, Amandal said. I just want to go home, but I can't do that until the others find the Tevis rolls rumored to be in this place.
Finch blinked several times, hovering close to Amandal.
And you want to go home?
Yes. There are important things at home.
And you can't go home if you don't find these Tevis...
Tevis rolls, Amandal said. And yes.
What are Tevis... Rawls?
Finch asked.
Objects that manifest magic, Amandal answered, gesturing to Finch's weapon lying on the floor.
Like that rod you were using. But Tevis Rawls are not just weapons. There are lots of different kinds of Tevis Rawls.
Is that why invaders come? Finch asked. They want the Tevis Rawls?
Amandal shrugged.
It's why we're here. Well, not me.
What about the prisoners?
Finch asked, contempt in his nasally voice.
So this is a prison, Amandal thought. Perhaps Ilden's theories were right. No, just Tevis rolls.
Finch returned to eating his meats and cheeses in silence. Was he considering the request? Amandal sat, watching the winged creature eat while hovering. It wasn't long before he finished his food.
Okay,
Finch said, fluttering in front of Amandal.
If your friends only want Tevis Rawls, I will take them to the roost. But you will not touch the prisoners. Promise?
Amandal nodded.
You have my word.
Word?
Finch asked, blinking.
It's what you say when you make a promise, Amandal said, chuckling. Now which way do we go?
Finch turned and pointed back in the direction he had come from, down the left branch of the intersecting hallway.